Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Jenny Buchholz of Haven Creative, and today we're discussing a leadership framework called the Maven Mindset. Jenny's passions include many things: snarky t-shirts, warring against socks and sandals as a fashion trend, and most importantly, community building. Her career in marketing and video production lent itself more readily to community building, which is how she ended up as founder and CEO for Haven Creative, a community branding agency that focuses on clients in government, business, or nonprofits who seek to build community through storytelling and branding. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jenny.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk about community and mavens.
Yes, I am too. So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
I am coming at you from Waxhaw, North Carolina, which is just 30 minutes south of Charlotte.
Okay, beautiful. And what would you say really motivates or inspires you?
I have so many different data points of inspiration. I would lead first with my team. I think the hardest part about owning a business was being by myself the first few years. And mm-hmm. I get so much inspiration from other team members and sharing creative ideas around the group, around the team. So that's a really big one for me.
That's cool. And it's so rewarding and inspiring seeing other people on your team grow professionally as well with you. So I can definitely see how that's a huge source of inspiration.
Not only that, one of my tenets is to always hire people smarter than me. So I believe everyone on my team adds some new value to the team that we didn't have before, and it makes us all smarter and better, which really also kind of feeds in back to making mavens too. But
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I love that. So how did you get into digital marketing to start?
It was completely by accident. I never intended to start a business. I really, really didn't. I just wanted a place to be creative and have some sanity away from my 3-year-old child at the time. And I bought a laptop and I'm a creative by nature. So I really wanted to find an outlet to still be creative. Right. And what happened is it grew over the years. So this month is, we've been 8 years of business. And the last 5 intentionally scaling and growing with that thought of hiring people and really growing an organization that takes care of people and our projects and our clients to build community.
That's awesome. And then so how did Haven Creative come about? Like, tell us about a little bit more about you guys and, you know, how big is your team?
Sure. Well, we came about initially because of the street I lived on had the word haven in it. And it was my corner of the house where I could escape to be creative, my haven, if you will. Right.
Okay.
And so I knew that creative was the piece I wanted to focus on. I loved storytelling and design. So that's really how we started doing a lot of product marketing. But okay. Over the years, it grew to be more specific to governments, towns, counties, and developers, which literally was community branding. So branding for towns and counties.
Oh, cool.
And then we started taking on more private clients. And at that time we were hiring more employees and we started to focus in on every organization has community inside it. And they are always looking to create community around it. Think of it as brand loyalists and so forth. So
yeah,
we've made that our focus, community building. And now we're have a team of 4 full-time mavens and about 6 freelancers that support us on a regular basis. So
it's a good
our motto
team.
Is to make mavens globally. We're going to keep growing. Hope to keep going.
That's awesome. All right. Well, let's delve into our topic now. So we're going to be talking about the leadership framework called the Maven Mindset. So I was reading through an article that your assistant sent me, and which talks about the Maven Mindset. And I know that there are 3 key pillars that make up this framework. So can you talk about the framework in a nutshell? And then we can talk in a little bit more detail about each of the 3 pillars that make up the Maven Mindset.
Sure. I first want to debunk a rumor that's been going around for decades that the word maven is not female. It really just means expert or connoisseur. And it's really important when we say making mavens, it doesn't mean we're trying to make everyone be this specific gender type or whatever. I think that's important to note. So yeah, making experts means sharing knowledge across the table. So we call ourselves Haven Mavens because it's kitschy and it rhymed. But it's deeper than that, and it really becomes how we work internally and how we service our clients. And like you said, I can kind of dive into that deeper, but I could also ramble all day long because it's such a passion of mine, so you might want to focus me.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's delve into the first pillar. So can you talk about the importance of asking for feedback when it comes to the Maven mindset?
Sure. A large part about what I say we practice as a team is radical candor, and that means having these raw conversations, being brave to speak up and talk about what's happening on both sides of the table. So how can I be a better leader for you? What do you need from me to be able to perform your job, your role? How can you be successful in that? But also from colleague to colleague. You mentioned earlier my assistant. I don't look at it that way. We are all colleagues in our organization. There's not this hierarchy there. It's very much run with input from the entire team. And so I always say, hey guys, actually I don't say guys, we don't say that, say to our team, you know, what do you think about us doing this? How does that align? Do you think we should go there with our goals next year? So constantly asking for feedback makes it feel more like a team effort and really builds, I believe, a community in the organization. Right. But you also have to be okay with receiving that feedback and then taking action on it, which is another piece of the Maven mindset. A lot of organizations will do what's called these stay interviews, and they're asking their employees, you know, why they stay with the company and what they love about the company, or they do these surveys with the company, but they don't actually take action on it. They don't change anything. Mm-hmm. And that to me is a big slap in the face, because you're asked for my input. I was brave enough to give it to you, but then you did nothing with it. So it's really important to be intentional, I believe, as leaders and as colleagues, to take action on whatever feedback we're given. Even if it's not that we're going to make the change, that we acknowledge it and explain why we decided not to make the change.
Okay. And then how do you encourage an atmosphere within your agency of your team members feeling comfortable enough to provide that feedback? Because it can be intimidating coming to your boss sometimes, you know, with problems. How do you make yourself super approachable so that they're comfortable doing that?
You probably have to ask my team to get a real answer, but I believe being humble and okay to make mistakes. Like I just said a couple times, you know, I kind of joke with myself, or I say the wrong word, or I can laugh at myself. I think hopefully showing that bravery and vulnerability as a leader spills over into the culture and they feel more comfortable speaking up, because they can see that I've owned up to a mistake, or I've owned up to a vulnerable moment, and I've approached a really uncomfortable situation and I tackled it. That each time I do those things, that helps empower them to feel like it's safe to do it as well.
Okay. So you don't have an ego. You're very transparent about things, which in turn you're hoping will make all your team members more comfortable as well.
I will say, yes, I have an ego. Every entrepreneur does. We wouldn't be in business if we didn't have egos. I just like to say I try to curb my ego as much as possible. An environment of learning, right? Yeah, well, I think that because I've in this entrepreneurial world, the more entrepreneurs I meet, I'm like, wow, we all have these egos of some sort. But to curb that with always having that thirst for learning.
Yes.
And having a thirst for learning makes you less egotistical, but also makes you a better team player, better leader. And that's where you can share knowledge and really grow as a thriving team.
That's awesome. I love that. So can you talk about the importance of looking at your working relationship with your client as a partnership and talk about how this outlook has served your business?
Sure. I think that we've led consistently with, how can we help you? What keeps you up at night? How can we help solve the business problems instead of selling a product? In my mind, that's more of looking like as a consultancy. So our marketing agency is not this typical one size fits all solution provider. We don't just say, hey, we sell this digital platform. We don't. Mm-hmm. We look at the business and say, what's keeping you up at night? How can we help solve that problem? And then figure out the best solution that fits that need. We are problem solvers in that way, but we also look at other areas of the business where money is being spent to really prove a return on the investment of their marketing dollars. And we make sure that we're sharing knowledge. Unfortunately, I think in our marketing industry, there's a lot of buzzwords and vanity metrics. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, a lot of our clients don't know what they're buying, and it's kind of hurting reputations of marketing agencies around the world. So our goal is to make sure that we're fully explaining exactly what our client's getting and provide that clarity and transparency along the entire way.
Okay. And then is there anything else that makes up the Maven mindset that you would like to touch on? I know you mentioned bravery as well. Is that something that you'd like to elaborate on?
Sure. I think that is definitely a big one, because it's one of our core values too. And it's also inspiration from Brené Brown's book, Daring Greatly. And we've embodied that in the sense of we have to own up to mistakes. So we have to be able to share knowledge, but it's so uncomfortable. Actually, I'll back up and say, before anyone even comes onto our team, one of the questions I asked during an interview is, tell me a time that you were embarrassed, what happened, and how did you overcome it? What's important is if you can own that and share that story, it's scary. Nobody wants to admit when they had a fault or were embarrassed. It's the most uncomfortable thing. It's right. The most uncomfortable thing, telling someone they have food stuck in their teeth, right? But if we are brave enough to do it, we can have trust with each other and we can have these radically candid conversations. So to me, one of the biggest things is being able to be brave, because that's how the real conversations happen. Mm-hmm. And when you have those, you find creative results. You create better products. You create better service. You create all around more community in the organization and around it.
I love that. That's really interesting. And then, so how do you make yourself more brave every day? Like, how do you build on that skill?
I think a lot of journaling has helped me, but also our gratitude practice. So we have daily huddles. And in the huddle, we talk about what we're grateful for that day. What's interesting about that is something always opens up about a personal thing. And so when we have those personal moments, I still think there's always bravery in that. Mm-hmm. We also have a part where we highlight our stucks. So in our huddles, we say, this is a stuck I'm having. And we're able to speak up, like when something didn't go well, or we need help with something through the day. And I think that helps kind of keep that bravery in the organization.
Okay, interesting. And then do you try and have that mindset of, you know, like, do that thing that scares you to, you know, become more brave? Like, eventually you'll just become immune to it and it becomes second nature. It's not scary anymore.
I mean, I guess it could be, but also being scared is how we learn. So someone said to me, you're a fearless leader. I hate the word fearless leader, because I believe I'm full of fear every day. Yeah. I think it's probably courage and bravery that helps me overcome that fear. But truly, if I didn't have that fear, I wouldn't push harder to learn more or to be competitive or to have that hunger to keep improving our organization and improving myself as a leader. Yeah. So I think having that little bit of fear is what keeps that fire going in me, but it's really the courage to overcome it. So I don't like the term fearless leader.
It's a good point. Yeah. Everyone's got that fear. It's just, you've just got to face it. You've got to do the thing that scares you anyway. And like you said, that's how you grow.
Yeah. I always think when I'm afraid and scared, there's the flip side of that I know I'm also learning something new, which to me is exciting. Yes. And learner is one of my top strength finders. So it makes sense. I just love learning new things. So
that's awesome. What has been the biggest lesson that you've come across while managing your team?
Biggest lesson, I think probably going, it's still hard. It's always hard to approach the conversations and be able to accept the feedback. Mm-hmm. But also putting in, when you're hiring people, like I said, focusing on always looking for qualities that you don't currently have on your team. Unfortunately, I think as leaders, we'll get stuck in hiring people that are familiar to us or feels comfortable, or we follow our gut. But sometimes those things are wrong. Your mm-hmm. instincts are wrong. And you need to look outside of that and look at the skills and quality that bringing to your team, because you can't have creativity without diversity. And it's so important to have that.
Yeah,
especially exactly. In a creative agency.
Yeah, that's such a good point. So I know that you guys really specialize in community branding. So what does community branding mean to you?
That's also a great question. To me, community always starts with a story. And where that comes from is, I believe that there is a red thread that connects everyone. And you can usually find that when you get people talking and telling stories. Mm-hmm. So everything we do goes back to getting people to talk to bust down silos in organizations, to align teams so they can start working together. To me, that's a community. When you start to have all these diverse perspectives, but working towards a common goal, mm-hmm. you're able then to provide that better product, like I was saying, or better service. You're building this amazing, thriving team. Then when you're spilling it outward, so you're sharing your story. So PR, media relations, you're sharing your business's story out to the world. You can also attract and build a community around your brand. So think about anything that you love. It could be jogging, cooking, knitting. There's communities out there for everyone, right?
Yeah.
So our goal is to help a brand identify who their customer and core audience is and help them build that community around their brand.
Okay. Very interesting. So if you weren't running an advertising agency, what would you be doing?
Probably painting.
You'd be an artist.
Yes, it has to be creative. So as a side hustle, I'd say always when I had a full-time job is I would do arts and crafts. And so I would paint signs, do a lot of decoupage, a lot of chalk art, a lot of painting. I express myself through art and through my hands.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. It's really cool when you've got that passion and then you can combine that with your business. I think that really just shines through with the work that you produce. So that's really cool to hear that.
Thank you.
So what is with the ostrich mascot that you guys have?
You know, that's also a great question you should probably ask my team because it kind of randomly came out. So we were doing an ad for a business journal and all of us, our brand voice is very snarky, silly, and we have a lot of fun on our team. And I know sometimes people say that and it's a cliche, but we really truly live and breathe this kind of dorky joke environment that we have. So we're doing this ad and we were like, what could stand out when you're flipping through a business journal? So we thought, why not a funny animal? So I looked up, what is the funniest awkward animal? And ostrich was number one. And the picture that we found just cracked us up so much. We're like, she has to become our mascot. And true story, my grandmother's name was Opal. So we named her Opal the ostrich because it's a great own, you know, Opal name. Sounds pretty. So yeah, now she's our mascot and it reminds us to have a little laugh and that we don't take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah. And it definitely helps make you guys memorable and stand out from the crowd. I love that.
Yeah. Well, the ad is kind of funny. It says, what are you looking at? It's just an ostrich looking in the paper. So,
so where do you see Haven Creative in 5 years' time?
I'd always like to kind of keep the internal team relatively small because I truly believe I want to maintain that brand of being an expert in our field. I don't want to try to be all things to all people. I think we are good strategic communications and branding professionals, and I want to keep it that way. So I imagine a team of maybe only 10 to 15 people, but working with clients globally to help build community.
Okay. So are your clients typically local to the area, or are you working with global clients right now?
We do have a lot of regional clients. We have we do have UK clients, so we are global technically. And we also have clients across the nation. Initially, we wanted to do, you know, community branding across the nation, and it was very much focused on towns and counties. But like I said, we've branched out and realized every organization. That's why I start to say we're industry agnostic, because every organization has a community in it, and they're looking to create a community around it, especially with the great resignation and people leaving their jobs in the thousands. You know, they're looking now to rebuild the community inside the organization. So I think we can make a great impact, and I want to see us going that way in the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. It's a really unique niche. I don't think I've had anyone on the show who does community branding. It's really cool. What drew you to that sector?
I always kind of go back to a story of when I was 5 years old, and I remember this little boy, Josh, who was very brand new to our school. He came in, wild, crazy hair, disheveled clothing, bottle of glasses, and he's putting his backpack away in his cubby hole. And I remember kids picking on him. And I so clearly can see it. And I was like, sorry, I want to make that kid my friend. So I'm driven to create inclusive environments. Because I want to make a place where people feel they belong and they feel seen and valued and heard. And I can't believe I'm tearing up. The story always gets me.
It is. No, it's a tearjerker for sure.
It's my why, truly. And yeah. I think that we can be such better places to work. to live when it comes to towns and counties, and to play when we start sharing stories, when we can find that thing that connects us. Mm-hmm. There's so much power in community. And so that's what I want to make my life's work.
Wow, that's incredible. That's, that's a really powerful story for sure. And I think making, having your why be inclusivity is such a powerful thing to really fuel your vision. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what is a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Oh man, I have book ADD. There must be like 15 books on my nightstand. So I hope I don't have to just pick one. I picked four of my favorites and I'll just rattle them really quickly.
Sure. And I do the same. Audible. My Audible is just like, there's like 10 like half read books. It's terrible.
I'm a mess. I jump in and out. And I'm sure my team is like, every time I get a new idea from a book, they're like, oh, she read another book. Here we go. But so Traction was huge because it's an operating system of how I run my business. So it's been really helpful.
The power of
habit has been great because habits change our personal lives, our business lives, how we go about the triggers to kind of change our habits. Daring greatly, 100% because of being brave. And then Rare Breed, which is actually a branding book by another branding agency, which I found super impactful and empowering as a woman-owned business and realizing there's less than 1% of agencies that are woman-owned. Mm-hmm. And they talk about the characteristics of a rare breed, which I love. So it's a leadership book.
Oh, interesting. That sounds really good. I'll have to check that one out. I'll have to add it to my massive list.
Definitely.
And then what does your morning routine look like?
Well, I have a 7-year-old and 11-year-old. So the mornings during the school year are very, very early, unfortunately. And I am not a morning person. God bless my husband for taking the morning routine with him because I'm slow to rise. So I get up, I get my coffee, it's quiet. I do a lot of reading. I do my journaling in the morning, a lot of gratitude practice, maybe a little yoga if I can squeeze in my 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then I go into Zoom meetings. I really try to not have meetings until 9 o'clock or later because my brain's just not functioning that early.
Yeah, no, it's true. And a lot of people are in the same boat. How would you say, I'm just curious, how would you say journaling affects your business? Like, do you do like goal setting and that sort of thing, journaling?
Yeah, head trash is real. The imposter syndrome for me, I don't know if it's because of, you know, whatever. We have stories we tell ourselves that are not true. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I've had to work very, very hard to overcome those. But the way that I overcome them is writing down the things that I'm telling myself and then telling myself that that's not true. You know, it's writing down first, like, because I walk out of bed and I'm thinking, you're tired, you're lazy, you're not, and like these terrible things come out of my head.
So things that you would never say to like a friend or anyone.
Right. You're like, why is this okay to say this to myself? This is terrible. So you start to write down all the things. And I have a reminder to practice gratitude daily because I do believe the more you practice it, the more you see it and have it in your life. I mean, it could be down to the fact of having comfy yoga pants, you know, whatever the gratitude is, can be so small, but it is impactful because it sets my mindset up for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Oh, that's really interesting what you were saying about you write down the negative things that you hear that you're saying to yourself, and then you write down, this is not true. That's a good, I like that. That's really smart.
There's also I have a journal that says I'm effing radiant. I don't want to say the word, but that's what it's actually called. And it has all these blank questions in it. So sometimes I'll fill that one out depending on what mood I'm in.
Okay. Love it. And then is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I can't say I have a specific CEO. I am part of Entrepreneur Organization's Accelerator Program, which is, it's actually a global organization for entrepreneurs specifically. And from that, I've been connected to so many entrepreneurs that that is my tribe, my community, and my go-to for anything that I need to be working on or need to bounce ideas off of. So I feel like that would be kind of the entirety community as a CEO following.
Okay. Interesting. And then what is your favorite online tool?
So for productivity, I really like Asana. It changed my world. I have to-do lists written all over a piece of paper everywhere, but Asana helps me really stay on track and on target. And I love clicking the little box that I finished something.
Yeah.
And then I would say for marketing, HubSpot has been a game changer for us because we can really prove the return of investment on marketing dollars spent, which feels great as a creative agency. So we can actually tie a metric to a creative campaign.
Awesome. Yeah, those are two really
good pieces. Last but not least, I do have to throw a shout out to Pinterest because literally I love it so much. Everything we do starts with a Pinterest board in some aspect.
Oh, really?
Like, yes, really. Every brand, every community, we always start with Pinterest to kind of get some inspiration and what's going on and what's happening. It came back from my product development days. We would start on Pinterest, so.
Okay, that's really interesting. I've never heard that before. That's cool. All right, and then last question. What's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Oh, one thing?
just one.
Oh man. Okay. I'm going to do my most recent one because there's so many, I can't even, you don't have to have all the answers. I think that as a parent, I feel like I always have to have the answers. Then as a business leader, I feel like I always have to have the answers. And I think it's more empowering and impactful to stop and say, what do you all think we should do? Where do you think we should go? Or I don't know where we're going to go. Let's work it out together. And I think that's one I'm still working on, but it's definitely one that sticks with me right now.
I love that. That's really good advice. That's a good one. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Jenny. It's been really great chatting with you.
Thank you. This has been fun.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.